Today on Rockin' the Suburbs
is the world's oldest surviving established record company. Hey everybody, welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to another episode of our podcast and the second episode in Patrick's Top 10 Classical Jams Week. I'm counting down my top 10 classical jams. They can take any form, really. They're just jams. And started yesterday, so go back if you want to hear the whole series with number 10. That was Glenn Gould doing the Goldberg Variations, an album. And then number 9 was the Bartok String Quartets. Dig them. So we're up to number 8 today in our second part of this series. I want to thank everybody for listening and hope you're enjoying this little left turn, this little change of pace that we're putting together for you this week before we get back to our new music business next week. I'm excited about that as well. I'm excited. Number 8 on Patrick's Top 10 Classical Jams is anything on the Deutsche Grammophon label. All right, that's a bit of a stretch, I understand, because there literally have been, I looked it up, 28, 16, 41 million billion recordings released on the Deutsche Grammophon label. Maybe that's a little high. But as far as I understand it, Deutsche Grammophon is the world's oldest surviving established record company. It was founded in 1898 by German-born United States citizen Emil Berliner as the German branch of his Berliner Gramophone Company. The thing about me and Deutsche Grammophon, why I chose to put this here, is because, to me, Deutsche Grammophon was a way, when I was first starting to very tentatively dip my toes into the classical world, that I was pretty sure if I bought something on the Deutsche Grammophon label, it was going to be a quality recording. And when I first started out digging into classical, if I wanted to listen to something or heard it was good to get a symphony by, say, I don't know, Ludwig van, I would try to find one on the Deutsche Grammophon label instead of one on another label or a label I didn't heard of. And part of this was the logo. If you've ever seen the Deutsche Grammophon logo, it'd probably be instantly recognizable to you. It's a bright yellow, what they call a cartouche banner. And sometimes it was big, man, right on the front, occupying like a third of the record's cover almost. It has a crown of tulips inside. And this logo first appeared in 1957. Actually, before that, through some subsidiary of somebody owning something else, they had the logo with... the classic logo they call his master's voice, where a dog is sitting with his head cocked a little bit in one of the old school gramophones there with the big horn. That used to be the Deutsche Grammophon label. But since 1957, when they designed this new logo, it was a staple of the majority of their recordings until the early years of the 21st century. That, to me, was a mark of assuredness that I was going to be getting my money's worth on a classical recording. Even if the price I was paying a lot of the times in the early days was reduced by a record store employee discount. but let me read to you from the source of all human knowledge regarding Deutsche Grammophon. Deutsche Grammophon's interest into the U.S. market in 1969 had previously been distributed in the U.S. by Decca and MGM, came at a time when the leading U.S. classical music labels, RCA Victor Red Seal and Columbia Masterworks, were dropping most of their unlucrative classical artists and pressing inferior quality records. Deutsche Grammophon's high-quality recordings and pressings attracted artists such as Arthur Fiedler and the Boston Pops, who had recorded for RCA since the 30s, and Leonard Bernstein after several years with Columbia to Deutsche Grammophon. So it raised the standards of a lot of classical music. And I don't know if it was, you know, somebody I worked with or some person there were a few people who were into classical music that I sometimes sought advice from. You know, if they told me Deutsche Grammophon was quality, it just became associated with, you know, like a high standard of recording, artist and performance. Like they had some pretty high standards. So if you made it over those high standards, you knew you were going to be on a quality label and you were going to get a quality product. And I got to say, it wasn't like these Deutsche Grammophon records were cheap. You know, price wise, you did have to pay generally the full price for them. But the ones I bought, I always really liked. Was looking through some of the ones I had and probably some on cassette tapes as well. But the Berlin Philharmonic does a performance of a Mozart composition, Symphony No. 41 in C major, sometimes known as Jupiter, the Jupiter Symphony. And that's one I really like and have over there on the shelf. So why don't we hear a little bit of that performance now on the Deutsche Grammophon label. Beautiful stuff right there. Absolutely gorgeous recording. So that's the lesson here from number 8 on Patrick's Top 10 Classical Jams is that Deutsche Grammophon equal high standards, high quality, hot jamming classical music. And that's what you want to get. Just to drive that point home, here is something you don't necessarily hear all the time, but this is a Chopin. Scherzo, number 3, in C-sharp minor, one of the most unusual of all keys, performed by Martha Argerich on the Deutsche Grammophon label. Thank you. All right, there we go. How about some Deutsche Grammophon? Put your hands together for Deutsche Grammophon, folks. One of the top labels of all. And the world's oldest surviving record company. Pretty fascinating. Love that. All right, now we're going to get closer to number one. We're moving toward the top five, folks. We're going to go for number seven right now. And number seven on Patrick's Top 10 Classical Jams is The Four Seasons by Vivaldi. Okay, now I know you're going to say, hey, I don't listen to a lot of classical music, but even I've heard of The Four Seasons. What's up, dude? Well, to me, picking The Four Seasons is like the equivalent of putting Who's Next or Born to Run, or for me, like Kiss's Destroyer, if somebody's asking you to name your top 10 records, because it was the one that you bonded with early on in your journey. It'll always hold a place in your ears and your heart because of that, right? Like, could you honestly make, you know, a top 10 list of your top 10 albums and not put some of your early absolute favorites on there? No, you have to do that because those are the ones that, you know, you really bonded, you really got into for the first time, and it kind of showed you where the next step would be. And you always hold that in your heart. And Vivaldi Four Seasons might have been the very first classical record that I bought, or one of them. And I remember I bought that, and I believe it was Pachelbel's Canyon. And listened to those, and for some reason, it's just the Four Seasons that stuck with me more. I don't know. I don't know if it was because the Italian passion in it. But anyway, it just spoke to me. And I love Pachelbel's Canyon. I mean, come on, Pachelbel's Canyon. Who doesn't love that? But it was really the Four Seasons that did it for me. The Four Seasons is a group of four violin concerti by Italian composer Antonio Vivaldi, each of which gives a musical expression of the season of the year, hence the title. These were composed around 1718 to 1720, when Vivaldi was the court chapel master in Mantua. They were published in 1725 in Amsterdam in what was at the time the Dutch Republic, together with eight additional concerti, as Il Cimento dell'Armonia e dell'Inventione, the contest between harmony and invention. The Four Seasons is one of the most recorded pieces of classical music in history. As far as I can learn and tell, the first modern recording was made sometime around 1947, and on the source of all human knowledge, it does indicate that in a survey of classical music published in the year 1952, there were only two recorded versions of the Four Seasons listed, one recorded in 47 and one recorded in 1952, or slightly earlier. Since then, in the last most recent edition I have access to, which was published around 2011, there were over 1,000 recordings. So from the 50s, 60 years, almost 1,000 entries, 1,000 times this has been recorded. So, man, if you're looking for one, maybe find one on the Deutsche Grammophon label, and that'll put you right. But that's pretty staggering. Not that long ago, I came across a website that I like to go to a lot. It's called gramophone.co.uk is the actual address. It's, I believe, the website for Gramophone Magazine, the world's best classical music reviews is how they bill themselves on the front. It says it was established in 1923. And through this site, I discovered a recording of the Four Seasons that I really like. And it is by Adrian Chandler, who is the director and violinist, and it is The Four Seasons. And I'll read to you now a little bit from the review here, the excerpt from the review on the Gramophone site. The group's founder and violinist slash director, Adrian Chandler, is not only steeped in the musical language of Baroque Italy, both vocal and instrumental, he's also fully conversant with its humanist wellsprings. Vivaldi's sonnets and consequent chromatic signposting throughout the score thus filtered through a more nuanced rhetorical vision that is more stage than page. The result is an intensely dramatic account that will add new spice to what for many listeners has perhaps come to resemble a dreary domestic relationship. Take, for example, the spacious birdsong, surging waters, and thumping, rusting dances of spring. The languid heat and raging storms finding echoes in the cuckoo's urgent call and the goldfinch's stratospheric sweetness in summer. The drunkard's erratic progress mirrored in the hunter's ebullience and the hunted's tragic flight in autumn, and the element's implacable indifference in winter. That's right up my alley, man. That sounds like good stuff. And I listened to the record, and it delivers. There are also a few other symphonies and concertos tacked onto this as well. So you get your money's worth when you get this version of the Four Seasons. La Serenissima with Adrian Chandler on violin. The Drunkard's Erratic Progress. For some reason, that's speaking to me. So why don't we hear a little bit of Autumn from this recording of the Four Seasons. Have it. We will go out today with another cut from this Four Seasons, and I can feel, listener, the anticipation in your ears as we're talking about going up to number 6 and number 5 tomorrow on Patrick's Classical Jams Top 10 week. And so with that, we will go out with a little bit of spring because it is that season. And with that, just be patient. We'll have another episode of Classical Jams tomorrow, but you just have to wait 24 hours to get it. And I know you're going to be hard-pressed to sleep with the anticipation. But until then, we will talk to you guys tomorrow. And I love Pachelbel's Canyon. I mean, come on, Pachelbel's Canyon. Who doesn't love that?